he was born blind. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam, and this word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbours and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? And some claimed that it was. Others said, no, it only looks like him. But the man himself insisted, I am the man. Well, how then were your eyes opened? They demanded. And he replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. And the man replied, he is a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one who you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself. The parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. And that was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are the disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And to this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. It's good, isn't it? Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. And then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees were with him, heard him say this and said, what? Are we blind too? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. It's long, isn't it? But it's good. It's got some really good drama in it. Goodies, baddies, and transformation. So, the scene begins with Jesus strolling along. He's going through the marketplace, and what has been a big deal in the previous chapters is Jesus saying who he is. He's already said, I am the light of I am the light of the world. And he's already said, before Abraham, I am. And everybody is unsettled by this, to put it briefly. They don't know what to do about it. In the last chapter, he's had a close shave in the temple grounds and has had to slip away. They were going to stone him. And it is the hot topic of the day, who Jesus is. So he's walking along with the disciples. And I sometimes wonder if there was perhaps an awkward silence. And perhaps they're thinking, what kind of theological question can we ask? And so they see somebody sitting by the side of the road who's been blind from birth. And they ask what they think is a reasonable question. They ask, who sinned? Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now to us, that's an odd question. But in those days, it was a reasonable question to make. Sin was believed to have physical outworkings. So any physical or mental impairment would be attributed to sin. And Jesus, his answer, I read this and I thought, this is kind of the ultimate Ron Seal answer. It tells you what's going to happen. This is only verse 3. It says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Sums it up. The whole 41 verses are going to be summed up in that next answer. It does. He says exactly what is going to happen. But what you then get is a whole load of verses about this. So God, Jesus says, what has happened? What is going to happen? Sorry. What has happened? What will happen? And he's very clear. He's a clear communicator. That makes a good rabbi, doesn't it? And then he says, because he doesn't leave it there, he then says, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. I am the light of the world. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So within two short sentences, he says exactly who he is. But he doesn't leave it there either. He says, what's happened? This man hasn't sinned. He's here to show the work, to show who God is. He then says, I am God. I am the light of the world. While I am here, we must do the works of him who sent me. And then, without pausing, he demonstrates it. And it struck me that in this story, he doesn't ask permission. When we looked at the man by the pool of Bethesda, Jesus asked him, do you want to get well? But he doesn't here. I'm not sure why that is. I'm sure other people have got good answers. And what he does straight away is he picks up some clay from the earth and he mixes it with his saliva and he puts it on the man's eyes. If you put your fingers on your eyelids, there's cooling, there's comfort, there's a sense of peace. And I thought about this, and I thought, to most of it, if you could freeze frame that, if you could see and look around, what would you see? Would you see shock? Would you see horror? Would you see disgust? To us, it's like you're putting your spit and dirt on his eyes. But this isn't just anybody putting their spit, is it? This is Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus who was before I am. If you go way back to Genesis, what does it say? It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of the God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. Here is Jesus, who before the beginning of the world was there, was I am, already present. Here he is, not separating earth and water, but putting them back together. And he puts it on somebody's eyes, and he helps them to see. It's a new way. It's a new creation. And then Jesus simply tells the man, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. That's all he does. Very calm, very simple. And it says, and off the man goes. And then it says, and he came home seeing. I was thinking this morning, how did he get there? What was that journey like? So he had mud on his eyes. He still can't see. He has to navigate his way somehow to Siloam. And then he comes home seeing. He washes, he comes home seeing. What was the journey home like? How did he find it? Could you, it must have taken ages. I wonder how that felt to have it all washed off and to be able to see everything for the first time. Those are things to think about. And from there, the narrative stops, the kind of drama stops, and Jesus disappears. And this is where you get all the sort of intrigue going on. His neighbours and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was, and some said, "No, no, he only looks like him." Can you imagine somebody that they've probably passed every day for years on end? They're going, "No, no, it's not him. He just looks like him." Who needs the eyesight then? Who really needs to go to Specsavers? You know? And I could, can you imagine the whiz-wazzing that would have gone on? All the old ladies, sorry. Sorry, gender-based slur. I am so sorry. Oh, my goodness. all the mature people and young who would have said, "Was that so-and-so? Is he the one who we used to know? Is it the same one?" And some people say, "No, it wasn't." And some saying, "Yes, it was." And he said himself, "I am the man. It's that I am that person." You know, when some people are having a discussion around you and you want to say, "I'm not invisible, I am here." He's saying, "I am here." And when they say to him, "Who was it? Where is this man?" He says, "I don't know." He doesn't know anything about Jesus, but he knows it's a man that did it. And at this point, he just calls Jesus a man. Now, this isn't enough. So obviously, a few days go by and he gets brought before the Pharisees. And they really want to go into the details. They brought the Pharisees, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the man and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Now, this is the big deal for them. As Jews, you don't do any work on the Sabbath. And apparently, even the rolling of the clay into mud would have been considered work. So, they're not happy about this. This is Jesus flouting their rules again. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Again, lots of discussion must have been going on. What do we believe it, don't we? They turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." And the man replied, "He is a prophet." We don't know the time span, but he's gone from saying that Jesus was a man, and now he's saying Jesus is a prophet. He's obviously reflecting on what has happened in his own time. But that isn't enough to talk to the man twice. They bring his parents in. I love this. If in doubt, bring the parents in. But in those days, it was culturally, we don't understand it. If somebody healed me and they called my parents from Bedfordshire and said, "You know, can you come and talk about your daughter?" Well, number one, I'd be really affronted. And I'm sure my dad would go, "Oh, she can speak for herself." Sorry, Dad, that was an impression of you. but culturally, it was a big deal. Where you came from was huge. And so it said, they asked, "Is this your son? Is this the one you say was born blind?" If you look at the wording, "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" And they say, "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind." Parents know their children, don't they? You know all their faults, you know all their achievements, you know them inside out. "But how he can see or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." And we know that they said that because they were afraid. Denial. It's not just a river in Egypt. A second time, they summon the man who had been blind. Now, the wording here is different to the wording. Oh, no, it's the same, it says. A second time, they summon the man who had been blind. Look how again how they word it. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." They're actually inviting him to lie about who Jesus is and what he's experienced. This made me think, that wording, "give glory to God by telling the truth," that collusion, that invitation to collude. Do you remember the Garden of Eden? Do you remember the snake? didn't say, go and eat the fruit. It said, did God really say? So clever, isn't it? So manipulative. But this man has experienced sight for a number of days now, and he's been asked a number of times, and he finally replies, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. And he actually is saying, and I'm not going to judge, which is what the Pharisees are wanting to do. One thing I do know, I was born blind and now I see. And then they ask him, what did he do to you? How did he open his eyes? And he answers, I have told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples? And of course he's been sarcastic, hasn't he, I guess. Been sarcastic, he's been a bit provocative. He's told his story again and again. He's telling them what Jesus said. He's telling it as simply as Jesus said it. And they hurled insults at him. They didn't like it. He'd stood up to them, he'd challenged them, and they hurled insults at him. And they said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. And that is one of the big insults. If you have no family, where are you from? He's a nobody. I tried looking up some ancient Jewish insults yesterday to see what they might have been. They weren't pleasant. And these are the Pharisees hurling insults. These are the ones who say, we are Moses' disciples. We know the law. But truly revealing who they are and their understanding. But this man has gained confidence and he answers back, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We all know, I've in bold, we know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. There's a verse somewhere else that says, apart from God, you can do nothing. This man now sees who Jesus is. He knows he's a more than a man. He knows he's a man from God. He knows he's a prophet. And to this, they don't have an answer, do they? How do you answer that? So to this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? They take the high ground. And they threw him out. And there's a suggestion there that they were impetuous, they were angry. There wasn't any due process, there wasn't any thinking about, there were no witnesses, no examination of what had happened. They threw him out. And we get to the big reveal. We get to the end. And it says, Jesus had heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? So this man is left outcast from the synagogue, even though he's been healed, but Jesus goes back to find him. Jesus always goes back, doesn't he? He goes back to find those who are his. We know that he goes back to find the lost lamb. He cares about everyone. He goes back. He's healed the man physically, but he wants to complete the process of the spiritual wholeness. And the man doesn't seem to recognize him at first. He doesn't recognize him as his healer. Because he says, who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus says, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. And the man's response is, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. It made me think of Paul on the road to Damascus. What happens to him? A bright light. Jesus, the light of the world, speaks to him. And his first word is, Lord. That is that word of submission. When you know who Jesus is, the physical healing has been done. The spiritual transformation is now complete. He knows who Jesus is. He's not just a man. He's not just a prophet. He is the Son of God. And he worships him. And his life must have been incredibly different. And then we have an epilogue, which you often have in a good book or a good story, and it tells you what happened next, which is often the bit that you really want to know. You know that the story is complete, but what really happened next? Who said what? What was the next chapter? And this is where Jesus speaks. And I don't know whether it was said at the same time or whether it was said later, but it says, Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him and said this, and said, "What, are we blind too?" And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." It's a story about people who have sight and people who are not using their sight. When they ask, "What, are we blind too?" you know full well that there are things that they're choosing not to see. And I know full well that in my life there have been things that I choose not to see. But Jesus is about healing and wholeness. He wants all of us to see. He's the light of the world. And what did he say? As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. It struck me that this man is reborn. He's recreated physically. He's recreated spiritually. And then the question I had yesterday was, who is changed by this encounter? Who has been changed? I guess it's those who have ears to hear and those who have eyes to see. What was the difference between those? We know the man was changed. We know the Pharisees were divided. It must have pricked their conscience for them to react so vehemently, so angrily. It must have pricked their conscience. And then I think, what's the point of us reading this? It's to reflect, isn't it? It's to think about what's going on in our lives and to think, are we prepared to let God touch our eyes in the same way? It might not be our eyes, it might not be a physical healing, it might be something that we are choosing not to see. I know that I have prayed at times to say and said, "Lord, give me eyes to see and ears to hear what you see and what you hear." But it struck me as well that I then need the hands to go and do. I mean, an obvious one for many of us will be seeing homeless people on the streets. And it affects us all. I remember Philip challenging us to simply speak to people. What do we do next? And because I'm in the business of what do we do next and applying our learning, I've got a so what for you. So what? So what difference will this make to us this week? I've got a few things. The first one I would say is go back to the story if you can. Go back. I've learned a really good technique from the Quiet Day recently. I think it's called an Ignatian technique. But you read the story and you put yourself in it. And who are you in that story? Are you one of the Pharisees? Are you the man who's healed? Are you one of the disciples watching Jesus, trying to ask good questions, but maybe needing to have your eyes opened and ask a bigger question? It might take you a while. The first time, you might not feel anything. And as I was writing these, I was thinking about Naaman, who had that horrible skin disease. What did he do? He was told to dip 7 times in the Jordan, which apparently wasn't a very clean river, and he was meant to do it to get clean. And he dipped 6 times and was unimpressed because there's absolutely no difference, and he was still covered in his skin disease. But the 7th time, he came out clean. And it might be that sometimes we need to read and read and immerse ourselves in the story, in our encounters with Jesus, to see what he wants to say. The next one is consider the title, "One Thing I Do Know." If you come to my house and visit my bathroom, you will find that there are post-its on there. And there's one that tells me I should be flossing my teeth, which I ignore. And there's one that tells me that God is on my side, that a friend wrote for me and stuck there, and it's been there over a year now. And this is one of the things I know. I know that God is faithful, and that's my post-it. And that is there on good days and on bad days, and I pray those verses on good days and bad days. I affirm them to myself. So I would urge you, think about one thing that you know. Write it on a post-it. Put it where you can see it, and let it be your prayer. Another one might be consider an area where God might need to bring light to you. And that's a hard one, I know that. I'll leave that with you. There are people here who will happily pray with you in the corner after the service or throughout the week. Pop up at a house group. They'd love to see you. Thrash out the story. Ask for prayer. It's a sign of strength, not weakness, I'm sure. And consider where you can bring light this week. And it might be, the reality might be places that you don't want to. It might be that we have to sacrifice some of our comfort to bring light somewhere else, or it might turn out to be a joy. It might be popping around to see a friend, it might be leaving flowers, it might be a text, something unexpected. But that verse sticks with me. It says, as long as it's day, we must do the works of him who sent Jesus. Amen.
Father, thank you that you continue to speak to us. Father, we thank you for your word brought through Ali and the challenge that that is to us. What are those things that we refuse to see in our own lives? What are those times when we fail to recognize just who Jesus is? What are those times when we ignore those things that we know to be true, but we still turn away from them? Lord Jesus, thank you that you reach out to each one of us with your healing, with your forgiveness, with your reconciliation. Help us to receive all that you offer to us.